This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Oh, hello, it's a Saturday afternoon here in Melbourne. It's a little gloomy, but it's looking like it's going to improve for the rest of the weekend. I've got Heston Blumenthal today. There's very little more that needs to be said apart from Heston Blumenthal. Stick with me, the gorgeous Matt Wilkinson, Ian Curley, and Rabbi Yanni as well. Yes, good afternoon. We are talking cravings. It's 6 minutes past one here in Melbourne. Hello, my name is Pete Dillon. Another episode of Cravings before you to take you through until 2 o'clock and get your weekend started, of course. Thanks to the team at Techno Gaze and to Shannon Gillies for the news and, of course, the lovely folk on Saturday Magazine and Breakfast. Now, today I have probably one of the most recognisable faces in the industry talking to me. His name is Matt Wilkinson. Matt, good afternoon.
Doing? How are we?
I'm very well, thank you. You're not well?
No, I'm good.
Oh.
Good.
Oh, I thought you said you were... Never mind. You said you were going... Never mind. We could get really...
I'm working in the kitchen.
Ah, right. Well, that's a nice change for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been a while. I'm a bit rusty.
Yes. Mate, I'm going to talk to another Englishman in a little while. His name is Heston Blumenthal. Excuse me. Did you hear the sound of that name dropping? And... Yeah. So today I'm doing a bit of the best of British, and I thought I can't do British without talking to you.
Oh, thank you.
So how goes your empire?
The empire is going very, very well. We're actually looking for business number two. That's why I think she has taken herself out, really, the kitchen at folk journalists. That's Jason and Vanessa.
Yes.
The daytime, nighttime, and working on Hams and Bacon and trying to find a second site. And I've just finished book number two.
You've just finished book number two, finding a second restaurant, clanging pans like there's no tomorrow.
And trying to be a good father and husband.
Of course you are. Now, the new site, is it going to be in a similar area?
Yes, maybe.
Okay, so we're looking on the north side. And for those that don't know Pope Joan, let's take them for a bit of a run through Pope Joan and of course, the food store and produce store you've got going next door.
Yeah, so... Pope Joan, daytime, cafe, nighttime, restaurant,
yep.
And bar. I was just Melbourne food in it. That's what I'd say. It's East Brunswick food. Modern East Brunswick food.
Modern East, it's a fusion then.
Confusion
cuisine.
Confusion this morning when I'm in.
Yes.
So yeah, it's just, I food thing. It's just properly what's in season, using growers, but a mixture of bits and pieces, use a bit of my British heritage.
Yes.
But then get inspired by different people I've worked for, and but all about the idea that food's really just delicious. That's what I'm after, tasty and delicious.
Excellent. And as your empire is expanding, we've heard this week that The Point has been sold in Albert Park, and we're going to have a bit of a yarn to Rabbi Yanni shortly to find out why.
Who bought it?
Sorry?
Who bought it?
Oh, I don't know. We'll have to wait until Rabbi perhaps tells us. I don't actually know. I just I know that it's been sold. So it's going to be there might be interesting changes there at the point. So Matt, the other question I had for you, your second book. What's the focus of the second book?
Salads and salad dressing.
Well, that's so practical.
Yeah. So it's Pokemon was you know, vegetables first, what's in season, vegetables through, and then you come up with the dishes.
Yes.
And then my other thing that's a bit different is that I just everything basically looks like a salad, or is a salad of some form.
Sure.
Whether it's, unless it's a curry or a braise, but you know, most entrees is a salad, and I think it's one of the things that I do well.
Yes.
So it's a book on salads and salad dressings through the season. So obviously, you know, it's not just all salad leaves, it's you know, using meat and vegetables, and there's a bit of fruit in there actually as well.
Yes.
It's called Simply Dressed by Mr. Wilkinson.
Oh, Simply Dressed by Mr. Wilkinson could be a fashion tome as well, giving your sartorial style. What's the one essential ingredient to go in a salad dressing, according to you?
I don't think there's one thing. I've got a go-to salad dressing that I use for all sorts of things, like the caper and raisin dressing.
Yep.
It's just caper, shallot, garlic, raisins, obviously. You pound it all together.
Yep.
In a mortar pestle. And then you add balsamic vinegar and olive oil and salt and pepper.
Beautiful.
It's delicious. Like any roast veggies, it's great. It's great with, you know, a piece of pork, it's great with a piece of beef, it's great with fish. Obviously, at the moment, with the season where it's at, you know, all the soft herbs are coming to an end, and it's not just beautiful salad for the day.
Yes.
You know, olives are in season, so obviously we're using up, if you can quickly brine, so, you know, the 3 week brine olives, like that through a salad. Just simple stuff, beautiful.
Excellent. Well, mate, we'll let you get back to the pans because clearly you're under the pump in there. Good to talk to you as always.
Awesome. Thank you, darling.
Cheers. That's Matt Wilkinson. He is from Pope Joan, and maybe there's going to be a second Pope Joan if we're lucky. It's just before 30 minutes past one. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9. Very shortly, we're going to talk to Rabbi Yanni about the sale of the point, and we are, of course, going to speak in a little while to Heston Blumenthal.
Joy.
News this week that the point in Albert Park has sold. I thought we couldn't go through this program this afternoon without talking to Rabbi Yanni. He is a man who's been involved in one way or another at the point and his family for the last 18 years. Rabbi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Pete.
Mate, good to talk to you, and thank you for taking my call. Why have you sold?
It just came time, Pete. It wasn't on the market. It was an offer made, told to go away a few times, and fairly persistent. So we did a deal.
Fair enough. And I guess it's been in your family, a family business, for almost 20 years. What the devil are you going to do with your time?
In the short term, spend it with my young family. I have a two-year-old who I haven't seen much of and intend to spend a lot of time with him, take a short break and resurface somewhere in some capacity within the hospitality industry, I assume.
Excellent. So anybody listening that's looking for an exceptional general manager, you're happy to take calls in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I certainly would.
Excellent. Are you able to divulge who it sold to? That is, seems to be the one burning question that the industry has.
Yeah, it does seem to be a burning question. And the only reason being, I think it's because an announcement hasn't been made by the purchaser.
Yep.
But given it is a significant purchase of Melbourne commercial real estate and the location and the fact that it is a significant part of the hospitality industry, the purchaser would like to make their own announcement. And furthermore to that, we're bound by confidentiality and a few other bits and pieces, so I'll leave that for them.
No, that's good. I don't want to be controversial. I don't want to put you in the poop. It's just that I've heard a series of rumours over the last couple of days. It's remarkable how small this town is when the rumour mill gets going. What are you going to miss most, Rabbi? It's been just such a huge part of your own life for a very long time. What do you think you'll miss the most?
The people.
Yeah.
Both the team there and the guests, suppliers, service providers, everyone past and present has contributed to what the point is today. I mean, at no stage we have less than 55 employees. So
that's massive. And I'm assuming that, that things will go on for normal, at least for the time being?
I couldn't see it changing. Obviously, everyone has their own style and their own way, or should develop their own style and their own way. But at the moment, it's business as usual.
Has there been a highlight that you can sort of put a thing? I know it's been, you know, it's a difficult question, and I'm trying again not to be controversial, but has there been one particular highlight that you can look back and say, you know, that, that's been a huge part for me?
I met my wife there.
Oh, well, we need to go no further. Was she working there or was she a guest?
No, she's not working now, no.
No, no, I was saying when you met her.
Oh, was she working? Yeah. Sorry, was she working or a guest? She was working, yes.
Well, that's I guess so.
Sort of.
Sort of, right, okay.
Yeah, her sister was working there. And then I said, well, why don't you work here?
And she said, no worries. And then you said, why don't we get married?
Exactly right, something like that.
Yeah. 8 years.
Over 8 years.
Wow. And so do your kids recognise you? Do they know what you look like?
He does now, yeah.
Yeah, good, good. And I guess when they are so young, Robbie, it's you want to be a part of their life. You want to see those milestones that they're achieving as they grow because they happen so quickly. And when you work in this industry, it's very difficult to be able to witness some of those when you're spending your time at work.
Yeah, no, I mean, 21 years, Pete. Not all of which at the point, 18 of which at the point of 6 days, 6.5 days of 80-plus hours a week. It comes time when you turn around and say, perhaps I should slow down, or as they say, there's no progression without change, and a change has been made.
Yeah, and good stuff, mate. I wish you every success. What was the hard part about the decision? Do you think that there was a difficult part, or you just...
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, it's a mixed bag of emotion, right? I mean, up until last Friday, I was still thinking, how is this the right decision to accept and proceed? So it's very difficult. I mean, the hardest thing is leaving the team behind. And as recent as last night, I received a call from a guest who was bitterly disappointed in the change, but understands and, you know, sorry we couldn't see you and et cetera, et cetera. And all those bits contribute to one very difficult decision and a mixed bag of emotion.
When do you finish, or have you finished?
It's like weaning yourself off without suffering too much separation anxiety.
Yeah.
So I'm away from there today and tomorrow, and I'll be back in on Monday finalising a few bits and pieces and probably through till Tuesday, Wednesday. But you never really finish, do you? I mean, whilst you're responsible, you're still responsible.
Are you having a farewell bash anywhere?
I intend to, yes. You want to come?
Oh, mate, I'm always on an invitation list when you're involved.
Yeah, no, that is the intention, but I think we'll let the dust settle a little bit, and everyone's sort of remaining upbeat, and I'd like to keep that, and I don't want them working with a hangover, especially with new owners.
No, that's probably not a good look on their first day under new ownership.
No.
All right, mate, well, look, we wish you every success, and no doubt, as you say, you will, like a bad penny, pop up somewhere, and it'll be a joy to see you back in the game. Have a really good break. And, you know, we do wish you great success and offer our congratulations on 18 years of fashioning that business into an icon in the Melbourne food and beverage scene.
Thank you very much, Pete. Thank you for your support, and look forward to speaking to you soon.
Mate, it's always a pleasure.
Take care. Bye.
Cheers. That's Robbie Yanni. He is from The Point in Albert Park, and announced this week that The Point has sold and to... a group or an organisation that will in their own time announce who they are and what their intentions are with The Point. Rabbi has been an integral part of the Melbourne hospitality scene now for almost 20 years, and it is with some regret that we see him move off the floor of that venue and out of that venue for a while, but I am very, very sure that, as he says, he will pop up again very, very quickly. We do have a little bit of a track that I'm going to go to now, and then we're going to come back and talk to another one of our good British mates. His name is Ian Curley. Ian is at the European, and we're going to have a chat to him in just a moment. We'll play a song, we'll play some messages, and we'll be back to talk to Ian. And then, of course, a little later in the show, the delightful Mr. Heston Blumenthal. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9. I'm Pete Dillon.
Bonjour, I am Gabriel Gatte. You are listening to Cravings with Peter Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon, Pete Dillon. Back with you here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. It is 25 minutes past one here on the gayest station in the nation. And as I mentioned at the top of the hour, we're talking to some of the best of Britain today. And one man that is very easily recognisable from his voice and his visage. He is one of the nicest blokes that works this business. His name is Ian Curley from the European. Good afternoon, Ian.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Good to talk to you. We haven't spoken in ages.
No, that's right. I think you got a bit elitist when you started doing some other stuff. But now that you're back with the real people, you're back.
Elitist, my backside. I've never been elitist. Yeah. Mate, what's going on?
Just getting ready for the onslaught that is today. Lots of stuff going on. I've just come back from Singapore where I was over the World Gourmet Summit, which is a mutual love fest for a lot of chefs. Flying from all over the world.
How was that as an event? Tell me a bit more about it.
It's an amazing event. It's a lot of chefs flying from all over the world and mutually tell each other how good food they are.
And, so it's a bit of a mutual masturbation society.
I was going to say that. I didn't know if I could say that.
Oh, of course you can.
Yes. It's basically, that's what it is. And we end up taking over a restaurant in Singapore for about a week, and I was working with an ex-Melbourne chef, Dallas Cuddy.
I love Dallas Cuddy. He's such a nice man.
Yeah. And so I took over his restaurant for a week, and so we did that, and that was fun, and a few charity events and a couple of breakfasts and lots of photographs, and they do like a camera in Singapore. They do love a little bit of a blog and a bit of a Facebook update, as you can imagine.
Yes. Have you got a favourite? I know Singapore's tiny, but is there a little part of Singapore that you love to visit?
Oh, there's actually a new restaurant there called Burnt Ends, which is a guy out of Perth who's the head chef there. David Pine, his name is. He's got a dirty, great big wood-fired barbecue oven.
Yeah.
And he's got these grills that you wind up by hand. And it's phenomenal. So if any of your listeners are over in Singapore, you have to go to Burnt Ends. It's fantastic. It's in the same street as Esquina, which is another good restaurant. But I know this is going to be a little bit controversial, but the whole thing about eating crabs and all that sort of stuff with, they break it up and there it is, and you sit down, it's all carnivorous, and you end up eating it. For me, I can't be bothered with it because it's
a bit of hard work.
Well, that's it. I want someone to do it for me.
Yeah.
I know that sounds probably goes against the grain about the whole way that we do things these days, but it's now I want someone to do that for me. I don't want it bits of it in my sunglasses and in my fingers and my hair. I get a bit precious when I get older.
Well, I was about to say, I think this is when we know we're getting older, Ian. I used to love the experience of a black pepper or chili crab on the East Coast Parkway. There was no greater experience, but I'm a little bit like you. I like to go and sit in a restaurant. I want somebody to do the work.
Yeah.
Gone are those days where meals are deconstructed and you have to reconstruct them on the table. Yeah. It's like, hang on, what am I paying you guys for?
Well, this is the thing, is I've almost gone the other end. You go to some restaurants where you don't want to have 19 courses of degustation and look at it and go, geez, somebody's food porn that all over the place. Well, there you've got the crab that's been steamed and just broken. You think, well, whatever. Somewhere in between, I'll have something somewhere in between. But, yes. But it's a first world problem. We're not living in Syria.
And it's putting food on the plate at the end of the day. It's not brain surgery or rocket science, is it?
And it's also, no, that's right. And also, that's the great mystery to a lot of people. You're standing there in front of a couple of thousand people and you're on stage and they say to you, so what's your philosophy on food? And I say, I don't know, I just cook it.
Put it on a plate.
my thing is, I a lot of people can wax lyrical about, their philosophy and the way that they do things. I'm not like that. I don't cook at home. I don't particularly have that passion that people say, they can't live without chervil in their salad and all that sort of stuff.
Right. It's interesting because from a juxtaposition, I'm about to play a bit of an interview. I caught up with Heston Blumenthal earlier in the week.
Oh, great.
And some of the stuff that he does is sort of almost the antithesis of what you do, and it's at the other end of the scale. It's all quite scientific and quite a less...
I got to admire that Heston has got that end of it, and for what he does, it's almost showmanship stuff.
Mm.
And the great thing about our industry is we get to have all sorts. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think the food that we do at the European and for all my other restaurants, you know, we use a sous vide bath and we use all that. But I always think to myself, how great is it, like just a roast pork roll or something like that, if it's done well and all that sort of stuff, as opposed to, I don't want anything to be turned into an aerosol spray and sprayed above my head with an iPod and all, which is fine. And I get what he's doing for what it is. But for me, it's like, you know, I want to have a mushroom risotto that tastes like mushroom. That's it.
Yes. But
my, I think I've got to quantify this before I go, you know, I think it's great that the fat stuff is coming here.
Yep.
I think it's going to be fantastic.
And I think for people who don't have the opportunity to go to the UK and go and spend £195 and get out to Berkshire and sit in the Fat Duck, I think as an opportunity for those that have the aspiration to do it, it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it is. The chances are we're probably not. I doubt if I'll go. Just for the simple fact they're going to be booked up, and Crown will keep a lot of it. A lot of the basis for themselves and for their high rollers, which is their prerogative.
Yes.
But I would just ask this question, okay? And here's a question for you, Pete.
Yes.
How'd they get all the visas?
How'd they get all the visas?
Yeah. Well, if they're going to fly all their staff over and all that sort of stuff,
yes.
How do they get all those visas for those staff to fly all the way over here and to get that arranged and so quickly? Because every time I want to get a member of my staff over from the UK or from France or Italy or whoever, wherever I'm trying to import them, it's like the world's biggest red tape. So Crown must have the best immigration officer.
Well, look, one would assume that they have had a hand in it. It's not a question that I've asked, but it's a very good question. It's a very interesting question because it's, as you say, it's not easy to get a visa, not a working visa for 6 months.
No, and that's it. So if you just want to, and also you're allowed to stay in one place for 3 months, then you're supposed to move on. I'd love to get that one out because I just think it's great for Melbourne and great for Crown.
Yeah,
there you go. Here's a little question for you: how did they all get in? And especially when we have a certain amount of immigration issues ourselves as to why we're not letting a lot of people in.
Yes.
You know, isn't it amazing how, you know, things can go that way?
You do raise a very valid question, Ian Curley, and I'm going to see if I can get to the bottom of it and report back when you and I next see one another.
Yeah, that's it.
Mate, are you heading to Noosa this year?
Yes, I'm going to Noosa. I'm very much looking forward to Noosa. I have the great Jim Barado in his infinite wisdom. Put me on an afternoon tea with Adriano Zumbo, so I don't know how that works.
He's testing you, Ian Curley.
Yeah, oh my God, I'm thinking to myself, what did I do wrong? And obviously, my little blue cheese croquettes and my little puffy balls will there.
Well, maybe they needed your little puffy balls and your blue cheese croquettes to offset the sweetness of Adriano's work.
Mustard macaroons. But I'm very much looking forward to the end of this month going to Tasting Australia in South Australia, where I've got Fergus coming back over.
How is Fergus?
Yes, he's very Fergus. And I spoke to him last night. He was suitably happy and very excited. It's going to be, I'm not exactly sure that they understand but Fergus's Parkinson's and how far down the track it is, but as he leaves London on the Tuesday night after the World's Top 50th lunch that they're doing at St. John.
Yep.
And then he flies Tuesday night at about 10 o'clock at night. He arrives in Adelaide after changing in Singapore Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, and he goes straight to a talk about Home is Where the Heart Is with Stephanie and Chong Lu.
Now,
you know Fergus, you've seen him and you know how he operates.
Yes.
After about 37 hours of flying from from London to Adelaide.
He is going to be in form, I should think.
Yes, I would imagine that he'll be comatose, but you get that. So I'll be talking to the organiser about that. So I only saw his itinerary last night. I sent an email saying, you know what? I don't know if he's going to get off the plane all chipper because Fergus tends to like a nightcap.
Yes, yes, yeah. And bless his heart for that as well. He's certainly one of the good guys again, and very glad that he is able to be here back in Australia.
No, that's good. And I'm going to bring him to Melbourne for 2 days of catching up. My kids love him dearly, and they want to see Fergus. So I'm going to bring him down. When you're in town, I'll let you know, and we'll have a catch up and have a glass of wine.
That would be awesome, because as much as I adore Fergus, my partner is his biggest fan. So We'll swing by and have a glass of vino with him at any stage.
All right.
Ian, good stuff. We will catch up with you in Noosa, no doubt, but I'll see you before then, of course. Right. Always good to talk to you, mate, and thanks for your perspective on cuisine and what we do. It's always good interesting to see a juxtaposition.
All right, mate. Thank you.
Thanks, Ian. That's Ian Curley from the European and those various restaurants in that precinct. One thing that I always love about Ian Curley is there's never anything but brutal honesty, and that's a very good thing. As I said at the top of that chat, he is one of the good guys of the business, and it's always such a pleasure to be able to talk to him. Very shortly, we are going to catch up with a chat that I had a couple of days ago with Heston Blumenthal. He was here to make the announcement that the Fat Duck is coming to Australia for 6 months, as Ian referenced. I will play that chat in. It was recorded in a space where there was coffee machines and stuff happening, so I do apologise for the ambient noise that you are going to hear, but I will bring that chat to you very, very shortly. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9, and I'll be back in just a moment. I'm Pete Dillon.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Earlier in the week, I did catch up with Heston Blumenthal, and I just want to play you that interview. I do apologise for the audio. It is a bit scratchy, but it's the best I could do. Welcome to Australia. Welcome back to Australia, I should say, and welcome to Cravings. You've announced this morning that you are bringing the Fat Duck, holeless, bowless, as much as you can, to Melbourne. What prompted the decision?
I've wanted to go, from about 2000, I wanted to put a new kitchen in the Duck. It's a 16th century cottage. They had an extension in the 80s, which is long before me. And the tiny kitchen was in there, so we managed to get planning permission, and then we had to renew it. It was a bit of a fight, and then we ended up with put a new permission in for a slightly bigger building, but that was more pleasing on the eye to the neighbours and more sympathetic to the old building. So we got permission for that. The problem we had was to do the kitchen is 5 months worth of work. And I couldn't lay the staff off. So I thought, well, what are we going to do? 5-6 months. Let's take the duck somewhere. Anyway, we looked at cruise ships. We had offers in Las Vegas. We looked at, we got an offer on Lake Geneva, another one up in Courchevel and a ski resort, all this kind of stuff. And none of it was really quite right. We came close to going down to somewhere in France near Saint-Tropez, and that all fell through. Meanwhile,
I've been in the Grand Canard.
The Grand Canard. Actually, funny enough, Ashley, who's the head chef, he was our head chef from Duck, is there set up dinner. He'll be setting up here. He's only worked at two restaurants in his life, the Fat Duck, and the one before that was the Petit Canard.
Oh, so the Little Duck.
so we had to do this work. Coming here, first visit to Australia was 2003, and I met John Alexander visit. I met Neil then became friends with John. I've been very close friends with Neil. So I've really closely followed what's been happening in the food scene over here. And then coming every other year for the Starlight dinner, and then it was the last 4 years has been every year.
Because you've done Melbourne Food and Wine Festival, you've done Good Food Month in Sydney, you've done Gourmet Escape in Perth,
and then I did a tour a couple of years ago, like the State Theatre, those sorts of sides, did that around Australia. Then I've also done four of the five series of MasterChef. I did a Heston Week last year. I'm doing a Heston Week in May.
Why MasterChef? What's the driver? I caught up a couple of weeks ago with Marco Pierre White.
Yes.
And he's doing MasterChef. Yes. And then a guy from Vikas, the guy that hosts MasterChef India, who lives in New York, is a Michelin-starred chef, also doing MasterChef Australia. What is it about this little program that that brings you guys from across the other side of the world?
Well, because this is my fifth series.
Yeah.
And they've done six. So I've done five of the six series of MasterChef. I think, it was so successful that because it's a British, MasterChef's
British.
British
show, yeah.
Yeah, and goes back, 30-something, probably 30 years.
Mm.
But I think there were, and it's a really good friend of mine's production company, Shine.
Yep.
I think there were a couple of guys, there might have been an Australian that had worked for a different, either Fremantle or I can't remember.
Another media
who they come across to Shine, and they remodeled it.
Mm.
So it's got a little bit of The Apprentice about it. But the big thing is that the challenges, the people they have lots of great chefs on there. It's the challenges are creative.
Mm.
I remember one of the things that pulled me in early with MasterChef, they had several series ago, they woke everyone up in their house, crack of dawn, 4 o'clock in the morning, said, right, you're going to have a couple of hours, you're out on a boat.
Yep.
They get out, two teams, three teams, out on a boat, and they had to get back and cook this meal by 1 o'clock, I think it was. And by the side where they moored the boat, they had all their produce in the kitchen. Now, the problem they had was they weren't catching much fish, so they stay out there for longer to see what fish they get, and then run the risk of not getting the food ready.
Mm.
And then the penalty shootouts, you know, they bring out a big moussaka and they take it in turns. There's 25-something plates with cloches on.
Yeah.
Taste
what
and smell.
What are the ingredients?
What are the first ones to get them wrong? And it was really hard. I remember Poe, and I saw Poe in Margaret River. And I remember that one because she got knocked out. It was really unfair. It was something like spelt or barley.
Mm.
I mean, it's basically the same.
Same thing, one's older.
Mm. Yeah, one's slightly more pointed than the other.
Mm.
So it's got a lot of integrity about it. So all of this was building up to me spending more time in Australia. I signed up with Breville a couple of years ago, which we've got some really exciting things for them. And then Coles, which the big launch for Coles is in May.
Yes,
my shows.
You realise
really
that
well
caused
here.
Our divorce. I've been on stalking on Twitter forever, and I had to divorce you after you went to Coles.
Oh, really?
Yes. And I've written a blog this morning while I was waiting, and it's because I don't like the way that big supermarkets treat small farmers and small producers, and it's just a little bugbear that I have. So I actually sent you a tweet not so long ago to tell you we're divorced because you've gone to Coles.
Do you know, I've never been on Twitter in my life.
Haven't you? Somebody's tweeting for you.
My son said to me, no one's tweeting for me. Nothing
really
to do with me.
Okay. Well, I'll stop tweeting them.
My son said to me about a month ago, he said, I've got seven dads on Twitter and none of them are you. They're all Heston impersonators. I've got Facebook. I've never been on Facebook. I've got a Heston's Facebook page. I don't even know what a Twitter page looks like. Mon said to me earlier, he said something like this.
You've been trending
Twitter,
this morning.
And I said, is that good?
Oh, it's very good.
Is it?
You're trending across Australia.
My range. So the connection was Waitrose, who are the top end food supermarket.
Yep.
And I know the way that they deal with farmers, and they're fantastic. So they had an association, not the same company, but somehow it's kind of an association with Coles over here.
Yep.
I think some of the Waitrose products were taken by Coles. So then they took the Christmas puddings we did, and we started talking to them.
With the orange in them, I have to say, spectacular.
Oh, we've got some corkers out for this year. Absolutely.
We're actually having a discussion in my office the other day, and one of the girls I work with, I said, you know, this whole bloody Coles thing and da-da-da-da-da. And she said, but did you try the puddings? I said, of course I tried the puddings with the orange in them. Fantastic.
All I know is how they've been with us for development. And so my Coles association is really about I'm not plugging any other thing from Coles. I don't actually know about it.
Yeah, that's it's a little bugbear of mine.
But it's interesting. So they've said if we're looking at if we find a little small chicken farmer, they'll go right. We'll deal with them. Yes. So anyway, so we got that's that launch, mate.
Yep.
So because coming here, I'm fascinated. I mean, I think the country is amazing. I think it's amazing on so many levels. It's amazing. It's huge, but population-wise, it's tiny.
Yeah.
But it kind of behaves like a much bigger country because it's so cosmopolitan.
Agreed. And I think we on the world stage, when we have people like your very good mate Ben Shuri, who sits at number 21 in the world, you know, that's fairly outstanding in a city of 3 or 4 million people. So...
Yeah.
I want to go. Are you surprised by your celebrity? If there are 7,000 Twitter accounts in your name, which is just people pretending to be you, and to be probably one of the most recognised culinary faces in the world, and with the opportunity to take your restaurant to any one of these probably dozens of places, are you surprised by it? Does it still do your head in?
It does. It's taken quite a while to to kind of accept it. Things that mean though, I didn't happen. It wasn't like, let's say somebody goes on the X Factor, and all of a sudden,
and then overnight rubbish.
It was over. I've been doing TV for, well, for about, say, 7 years.
Yeah,
7-8 years. I did one series of a couple of years before for Discovery, but it was a fairly compartmentalised. It was like safe if it was a disaster. Yes. Not too many people saw it, basically.
And test to see how you go on the box.
Yeah, and the level of recognition was something that kind of did, rather than doing that, it's done that.
A nice arc. This is radio, it's a bit hard to...
Oh, yes, and that's a really nice arc. And it was also starting to talk about your name as a brand, which is really bizarre at first. You're going... And then if you say something enough times, then the word Heston, actually, I can look at it on a packet and go, and play Heston. You know, it's strange at first. I think it's really important. When I went from BBC to Channel 4,
yes.
Channel 4 approached me, what do you want to do? I said, well, I'd love to do a show where you didn't have to be able to cook this food at home. Because then I could see TV as a great tool for creativity and R&D.
It's
and theatre, yeah, exactly. Anyway, then The Feast was born from that, which was great news.
By the way, just as you're talking about The Feast, the best one was the one where you went into Oman and found the branches to do the frankincense and gold.
Okay.
I can watch that 1,000 times.
Jay, who's we're doing a documentary, you know, the camera.
Yeah.
So Jay, I worked with Jay for 6-7 years. So I first worked with him on that show. We did it.
Okay,
together.
Cool.
And then after that, we moved to Channel 4 and did Feast. We moved to Channel 4 and so he did The Feast 1, Feast 2, Fantastical Foods. The new series we've got was coming over here. It's one of the best we've done.
Okay.
It's sort of historic. We've done pies and curry and chocolate.
Yep.
When I moved to Channel 4, I was going for two things, Feast and doing this documentary on Little Chef, this roadside restaurant chain. Mm-hmm. And I realised it was going to be a big thing. And I've been seeing this coach for 12, since 2000, actually.
Right, a life coach.
Yeah. And it was really about, I wanted to know. It's all very well telling myself why I'm doing the television to justify it as a good marketing tool. I wanted to know, rather than lying to myself, I wanted to know, am I doing this because I want to become more well known or not? And I need to know the answer, and he's brilliant. There's quite clever ways of, you know, like how you do some tests where they think you're asking a question about one thing, what they're really asking is something else.
Psychometric evaluation.
Exactly.
Right.
So I went through that whole process because there was no point in lying to myself. It just really needed to know.
Did you want to be famous?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, that's the short answer, which is the good answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then sort of get to the point now, which is really, well, it's really interesting. It might actually be a bit dull for you, but it was actually going where when you've got, you then look at where you want to be in the future and the kind of things you want, ambition. You've got to get a set of principles that really guide me and the company and the brand that internally everyone can understand and buy into. And it's really questioning everything is at the heart of that. Everything I've done, you ask the question, and then sometimes, you know, you pull and push a theory around. It might be you're going back into history, and actually you might go, actually, you know what, that works really well. Or by questioning, you then find you learn something new.
Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
When you're being Heston Blumenthal, the brand, we have a sense of familiarity. We have a sense of knowing you. Your private life, and I don't want to delve into your private life. Because you're a wife, three children.
Yeah.
What do you do when you're not being Heston Blumenthal, the brand? I understand you like cricket.
I like cricket. I like cricket. I love skiing. I'd go every weekend if I could.
Yep.
It's just, I find it, mountains, part of skiing is the eating as well. That's really
of
important.
Of course it is.
So to go ski resort where they've just got big buffets and stuff.
Yeah.
I exercise.
Is that part of the of keeping the brand healthy?
Yeah, I obviously find, I do mindful meditation. So you can do this with a raisin.
Right.
It's brilliant.
Right.
Now, I'd recommend anybody to do this. Take a raisin and pick it, look at it, and just kind of look at it on the surface and just notice where the light's bouncing off, where the shadow is, the crease is, wonder how sweet it is, how ripe it is, how moist it might be, then pick it up with your fingers and roll it around. And then you feel the contours and the resistance and blah, 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 blah. And then you put it up to your lips, feel the touch on your lips, and teeth start chewing it with the release of the flavour. You think about the sweetness, think about the texture. You drag this out maybe for the whole process, 5 minutes.
Yep.
And if you do that properly, and you just ask, you just choose whatever questions you want to ask. But the idea is, all you're thinking about at that time is that raisin. You're not thinking about what you should have done yesterday, what you've got to do in 10 minutes' time or tomorrow. You're just being. And we're called human. I mean, I'm fine wanting to talk about this. We're called human. We're called human beings. We're not called human doings. So we need to spend some time being. And it's anything you can do that. Just you focus on that moment. Skiing, when I'm skiing, that's all I think. It's all I think. Oh, actually, I might be on a chairlift and notice the glistening sort of flakes and something, the trees and
stuff
like that. So cricket, skiing. When I go on, if I train, if I can sit on an exercise bike. If I've tried audio, and my mind just goes off and wanders. But if I'm reading a book, not the first 20 minutes, you've got to get your heart rate up.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's a while, once it's up and it settles, then it's really good for being mindful and just focus on what I'm reading. So that kind of stuff's really important. and Margaret River. So we've seen this. First day, we arrive in Margaret River for the gourmet escape.
Yep.
Breville do a house on the beach for all the chefs and the people giving talks. And anyway, there's a table tennis table in the garden. So Guillaume and I start playing table tennis. And we love this.
Yep.
We managed to get that back to the hotel. So every night after with this house, it was the social house after dinner. We'd come back and have a beer or got a beer's glass of wine, table tennis. And got so upset after Guillaume did this dinner at Fraser Gallup, got on stage, and they went, I think it was Pat North said to him, so what are you most looking forward to? Something he said, leaving here and going straight and beating Heston at ping pong. and so they've given, I've got a table tennis table.
Really? In your hotel room?
And they've put bats out, and they've got Neil's face on one, Guillaume's face on another.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And mine on another. I've got George and Matt are coming around.
Right.
So Guillaume's coming tonight because he's only around today. He's coming with Sancha and we're going to have dinner in the room and table tennis. And tomorrow George and Matt are coming it's like a rumble in the jungle for
excellent
ping pong.
Who designs your glasses?
Me.
Do you?
Yeah.
Who makes them for you?
Well, I design them with an amazing guy called Tom Davies.
Yeah.
And then from this we've got a range of Vision Express, which is more high street range, but they're all taken from this design. So
I need geeky to get a pair of glasses. I love them. I've done for ages.
These ones are hot off the press. I got these the day I left. So these have been done on a 3D printer. But I'm trying. This is, I won't be able to test these till next year. These are for skiing because I always, when you're coming out of the slopes.
Yeah.
The flipping things steam up. So we're trying. I've got vents. I've got vents in them.
Ah, very clever.
So we're testing those.
So you design them, and because I just have done for ages. You're back in May.
Yes.
Obviously to do MasterChef, and we're going to catch up for a bit of a longer chat when you're here. And then in December, how big is this challenge going to be to pick up your restaurant in Bray?
Oh, it's big.
Put it in Melbourne.
Because at first we looked at it and thought, actually, I'm coming in May, and then thought, I can't wait till May, guys. I need to tell the staff because we've got to start planning. But we can't start organising without the staff knowing, because they've also got to be doing the organising. So it's going to get out. So that's why we flew over. It's 3 days. Just came here to do basically
this announcement.
To do this announcement.
Do the recce.
And I've got a pre-launch Coles tasting tomorrow.
Excellent.
Or Wednesday rather, and then fly back. So the logistics, we've got to get all of the kit, because there's some of the dishes that require specific, like there's a machine called a rocket, which is really nice, brilliant. It's a centrifuge. If you spin a bucket of wet sand around as a kid,
yes,
if you've ever done that, where the water goes to the top of the sand to the bottom, it's what that does. So if you put fruit juice in, then the solids, the liquid's up, the solids at the bottom.
Yep.
It's like a strainer.
Yeah, yeah.
But what this piece of kit does, it pulls a vacuum on the chamber. So it then can boil the water off at 25 degrees centigrade, which is low. So if you put raspberry juice in there, spin it, pull a vacuum, you boil it, it sucks the water out, but without heat. So you end up concentrating. So if you boil the raspberry juice down, you get a cooked raspberry flavour, which can be delicious.
Yep.
But it's cooked; it's a different flavour. This you can take. You can concentrate any fruit juices in there is amazing. So that's something that. I mean, it's the piece of kit's £30,000.
That's good.
And we need it.
And you've got to bring it.
We've got to bring it, because you can't do the mock turtle soup without it.
Indeed. One more question, and it's again, probably an emotional question. Gavin Baker, who is here in Melbourne, used to work with you at the Fat Duck. He and I talked a lot about the accident where you lost your sous chef. And another of your chefs.
Yeah.
How hard is that to recover from? Because you're very close to the people that work with you.
It was awful. Yeah, it was awful. I mean, it was because Maggie had left us about a year and a half, 2 years before, and gone back to Sweden. He was getting ready to open up, but he was sous chef at the Duck. Jorge, and so Maggie had been 5 years with us. Jorge had been 7-8 years. He'd been at the Duck and gone to open dinner. And it's just, I mean, just the accident happening. I think one of the things that was really shocking is if you think about driving to work in the morning and you get stuck in traffic jam and there's an accident and you have a moan. You have a moan because you're late for work, you know, and you flick over pages from the newspaper and you just kind of don't think anything of it. And the power when you're there, being and going through that process, and the impact and the damage it has to families, the families, kids and friends, is just. So what we're gonna? I had to pause then because it's.
I understand. It was a big question off the cuff.
It is, and that's the thing with this. You get really, you get so close to people.
I don't want to end up this interview saying I made Heston Blumenthal cry, which is probably a bit rude. But I'm really, really grateful for your time. I understand you've got 1,000 people to see. We'll catch you when you're back in May.
Perfect.
And we'll sit and talk a bit longer and unpack some more of who Heston Blumenthal is.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That was a lovely chat with Heston Blumenthal. I'm glad that I got the opportunity. And as I mentioned, we will catch up a little later in the year when he is here again. I need to say thank you to him. I need to say thank you to the good folk at Crown for arranging that interview and allowing me to spend some time with him. I also need to say thank you to Matt Wilkinson joining us in the early part of the program. He's always very good fun. Thanks to Ian Curley from The European. We will catch up with Ian again very shortly and hopefully get some time with Fergus Henderson, which will be a great experience also. And thanks to Robbie Yanni, who is from The Point in Albert Park. Robbie's a good guy, and we are saddened to hear of the sale and that Robbie will no longer be there. But as he said, The Point will continue in its current guise for, if something ain't broke, is there any point in trying to fix it? Next weekend, I think we're heading towards an Italian issue of Cravings. There are going to be some Italian chefs joining us, talking about what they're doing and what they're doing very, very well. Until then, I've been Pete Dillon. This has been Cravings. The team from Escape Pod are up shortly. Do have a lovely afternoon, and I'll be back with you next Saturday here on the Gaia station in the nation. It is Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.